I want to open up to give you, everyone here, a little local history. A little trivia question. Do you know what is the jewel of South Texas? What is the jewel of South Texas? Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of that. It all started by Clara Driscoll, was an author, a politician, and an activist, as well as a cattlewoman. And she is referred to as the savior of the Alamo. Born in 1881, Clara was the granddaughter of Daniel O'Driscoll. Now remember that name, and I want to stipulate something maybe on our message I might give further on, that Mr. O'Driscoll did not fight in the war between the United States and Mexico. Just remember that. Keep that in a note somewhere, because it will come up again. He was a soldier in Sam Houston's army. He fought in the Revolution of Texas to liberate Texas from Mexico, but he did not fight when the United States waged war against Mexico. And he grew up in Palo Alto Ranch. Okay, that was when the land grants were given. It was only natural that she would grow up to have a love for Texas and its people. She went to school at Miss Peebles and Miss Thompson's boarding school and day school in New York. And she lived in a French convent near Paris called the Chateau d'Yon at the end of the century. Clara went with her mother and brother on a round world trip. They're well-to-do. When she was in her 20s, Clara had heard that the Alamo was going to be demolished in order to build a hotel. Her fierce will and Texan pride led her to organize a fundraising campaign to save the Alamo. As the deadline approached, the payment neared, Clara would not be able to raise enough money to save it. So she wrote out a personal check and to cover the payment. She gave the Alamo back to the state, and they eventually reimbursed her. In 1904, Clara's book, Girl of La Gloria, published, followed by The Shadow of the Alamo, and she also wrote a musical, La Mexicali, that opened in Schubert's Brothers Lyric Theater In 1928, Clara was elected to the Democratic National Committee, where she served 16 years and became the confidant of Franklin D. Roosevelt. Following her brother's death, she took over and managed the family cattle and land. Despite suggestions from her advisor to lease the land and to sell the cattle, Clara kept all the cattle and the land. I can see it's the Irish stubbornness. Thus, preserving the Driscoll Empire. Driscoll Ranch, some of us that are in Texas know. As Corpus Christi began to grow, Clara supported the building of the Naval Air Station. And she built the Driscoll Hotel. Clara died on July 17, 1945, leaving the entire family fortune to fund and create the Driscoll Children's Hospital. The hospital on Alameda opened in 1953, and in 1970 had its status changed from a charity hospital, charity only, to a not-for-profit. That means it was open for all children, to provide care for all the children in South Texas. Clara's stubborn will, business sense, and leadership skills made her powerful. However, it was her compassion, spirit, and generosity that made her great. Even today, her gift is an extraordinary blessing for South Texas. The Children's Hospital is the jewel of South Texas. And it all started with one woman's generosity. My sermonette today, brethren, is about generosity. A woman that could have spent that money on a multitude and a plethora of other things, chose to donate. She could have spent it on her siblings. She could have donated to any of her family members. But she chose because she saw the plight of the children, and she chose to go that route. Today, it's going to be like a rehearsal for us. And I'm going to give you 10 points, brethren. 10 points to help you work on this virtue. Point number one. Time. T-I-M-E. We ask ourselves, how available are we? Not all of us have money. You've heard of people just throw money. Just give them $5 and tell them to go in this way. But do we have time? Do we have time? We can make time. You have it mentioned before. You have heard me mention before about the average attention span a person has. Back in the year 2000, I think they did a study, and the average attention span a person has is 12 seconds. Now it's 8.5 seconds. We can spend more time than that. We can think of many things to do. Spend our time, visit the elderly. Some of us visit our mother. Visit our children. Visit your neighbor. Your neighbor is elderly or is alone. He doesn't have to be elderly. He can be alone. Lady that's alone. Spend some time with him. It can be a family member or a good close friend that you haven't seen. Make a trip, yeah? You're probably going to have to drive 3 hours or something to go see us. Those as well as those in hospitals. It doesn't take money. Let's go to James 1. James, my grandson, James 1, verse 27. Let's see what James has. By the way, he called and he just checked on, he said, Umpa, is all the chickens? Yes, the chickens are okay. James 1, verse 27. Reading from the Revised Standard. Religion, not saying what, religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, colon, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. In other words, their time of need. And keep oneself unstained from the world. We're going back to what we had that message yesterday about being separate. Remember, this is what we were talking about when he comes back, when our Savior comes back and finds us doing. That's part of doing, brother. Now, point number two. How well do you tip, T-I-P? You tip somebody. Especially in the third world countries, when you go to a restaurants, when you go to the hotels, you know, we're preparing ourselves to go to the feast. Not so much in third world countries, but as well as here in the hotel staff or the restaurants. How well do you tip? If you were a waiter or a waitress or a hotel staff or a servant in a service industry, would you want to wait on yourself? Ask yourself, based on what you tip. Ask yourself that. Point number three. What kind of gifts do I give? I remember staying or looking at some articles in a shopping, Walmart or something. I could hear a couple, and they were discussing about what they were going to do, and the guy said, well, just get them anything. Just give them that. And I said to myself, going against, do I give the cheapest thing or that I find, or do I give something that comes from the heart? It doesn't have to be expensive, but it's something from the heart, something sincere. I always try to give somebody a gift that I like. You know, that knows that comes from the heart. Number four, do I frequently encourage and compliment other people? You can do it. Yes, you can. But I've never done this kind of work. Yes, you can. I know you have it in you. Do it. I've never spoke before. Yes, you can. You're speaking to me now. So come on. You can do it. Some people spend time complimenting others, and sometimes they don't compliment their own family. You know, don't forget our family members, our sons and daughters, no matter how old they are. They have challenges over their work or with their school. Yes, we can do it. I know my mom to this day, she encourages me. Yes, you can do it. He's only a man. Just do it. Point number five. Am I willing to share what I have? Yes, that's right. Something the very basic that we've taught our children. That you say, you share with your brother or you share with the other friends. Some, and everyone here can agree that there's some people, grown-ups, that haven't learned that. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. It says here, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I know some time ago, Mr. Hensley lent me his tractor because I needed some work done on my farm, and he didn't bat an eye. And before you know it, he was in my driveway with the trailer and the tractor, and said, he says, I'm going to Alaska, and when I come back, he said, let me know if I need to pick it up. You can use it, what you need. Sharing, because ultimately, it's not really ours. It's just stuff. You know, if it can benefit somebody else, have it. Number six, do I hoard my possessions, or do I give it away? If I'm not using something, and now I've had this for 15 years, but I never know when I can use it. It's going back. That reminds me of like in Acts 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they held back something and they showed Peter about the land that they sold. Number seven. When I have opportunity to give to those less fortunate than I am, do I give generously or do as much as I can or do as little as I can? When somebody asks us for something, to help them something, do I give it all, my all, or just, you know, just a little bit of our time or money? It can be anything. Number eight. I'm going to give you a scenario. You are in a social activity. That is an outdoor activity. And it begins to rain. The person next to you, it can be anybody, is getting wet. But you were diligent and you came prepared. You have your rain gear and you have your umbrella. Do you give the person next to you your rain gear or umbrella and not expecting it back? You don't remember, that you don't know that person, but he is in need. He or she is getting wet. Or whatever. Take that. Answer that in yourselves. Number nine. Here's another scenario. You're at a barbecue, and the person cooking steaks, and a plate of steaks is being passed around, and it finally gets to you. And it's between you and another person, and you have to pass it down. Do you keep the bigger steak or the smaller one? I'll let you answer that. And the tenth one. Someone that you know asks for money. Somebody that you know. It can be a family member or a friend. They say they will pay you back. Do you lend them the money? Let's go to Dr. Luke. Let's go to Dr. Luke chapter 6. Let's go to my friend Dr. Luke. 6 and verse 35. 6:35. It says here, but love your enemies and do good and lend, comma, expecting nothing in return, semicolon, and your rewards will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. So we're going back to material things. It's not really ours. If it benefits them, fine. Always give, lend money in a giving way. Give it to them, not expecting it back. Don't expect it back, brother. Let's go to Galatians 6, for last scripture. This will be the last scripture. 6:10, chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians. Paul to the Galatians. 6 and verse 10. And Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men in anything, verbal, lending, giving, especially to them who are of the household of faith, especially to ourselves. God is a giver, brethren, and he expects us to be givers. As you become a generous giver, you will be amazed at how happy you will be and how much you will enjoy life. In contrast, stingy people are unhappy. Continue to give.